6. The United States plus 5. Basically, the digits on one hand plus a thumb on your other hand. 6. That is the tiny number of nations out of more than 190 countries on planet Earth that do not offer some sort of federal parental leave. So put another way, more than 7 billion people, almost all of humanity, have far better federal leave support than parents here in the United States. Because here, it's zero. But you already knew that.
I was literally back at work in 10 days. In 10 days, I was back to work because there was no paid leave. I think this is horrendous and heinous that parents are forced to leave their newborn so soon after delivery.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and that's listener Marianne, who called us from Macomb, Michigan. Now, you probably also already knew that until a couple of weeks ago, there was the whiff of a possibility that the United States might adopt some kind of federal parental leave. That is, until Democrats killed the idea late last month as they tried to find a compromise social spending package. But today, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said she wants the idea back in. So who knows what's going to happen? Now, we could talk about what's stopping the U.S. from mandating paid parental leave. We've talked about it before, and I'm sure we will talk about it again. But we're actually not going to do that today. Instead, today, we're going to look at the rest of the world. Global average for paid maternity leave, 29 weeks. We're going to learn how nations rich and poor around the globe have achieved what seems impossible right here in the richest country in the world. And joining us to help us do that is Dr. Jody Heyman. She's director of UCLA's World Policy Analysis Center and a professor of public health at UCLA. She's with us from Los Angeles. Dr. Heyman, welcome to On Point.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Okay, so you're going to ride along with me and help provide us some insight into how various nations are succeeding in providing parental leave. And the first stop on our global journey, if I could put it that way, is the Kingdom of Jordan. It ranks 110th globally in per capita GDP, but it offers months of paid leave. And joining us from the capital of Jordan, Amman, is Isra Hamda. She's the mother of two and an accountant with a real estate investment firm. Isra, welcome to On Point.
Welcome. Hello. How are you guys?
Doing very well. Now, you're a mother of two, a two-year-old and an 11-year-old. Can you tell us a little bit about the experience that you had as a new mother with your daughter who was born in Amman?
Yes, I have two, an 11-year-old, and now she's 2 and 1 month. I had Bisan back in September 30th, 2019. My maternity leave started the day that I had Bisan. Here in Jordan, the maternity leave is 70 days. And the company that you work with declares declares for the government when you have maternity leave is the day that you leave. And you don't have to leave the day that you give birth. If you wish to leave a week, a month before, you can, but it will be included from your maternity leave days. And the clock starts the day that you request your maternity leave.
Okay.
So I
Oh, no. So, go ahead, please.
And I requested mine the day that I gave birth. So it was the 30th of September. It was a very difficult birth. I had to go through everything, literally. And at the end, it was a C-section. So I was thankful to have those 70 days because the first month was a very difficult month for me.
Yeah.
I had difficulty walking, standing up, carrying the baby. And the most difficult one was breastfeeding. Mm. So I was grateful for the maternity leave here.
Wow. So can you imagine what it might have had to been like if you had to go back to work almost immediately?
I would not go back because it would be very, very difficult. It took me, because of the C-section, it took me to walk normally a week. Usually, regular ladies would take them 3 to 4 days, but for me, it took me a week. So I can't imagine after 10 days or 2 weeks going back to work with having a scar. And when you cough, you need to hold your stomach. When you breastfeed, you have to put a pillow. No, it would be too difficult.
Yeah. Okay. So you got 70 days or 10 weeks, essentially 10 calendar weeks. And how much of your salary was covered during that time?
My whole salary was covered by the government. The process was that the company, when I had my baby, the company declares that I'm on maternity leave. The process goes through the Social Security from the government, and the Social Security would contact you, tell you, congratulations on your baby, please provide the supporting documents. And what was good about it is that you don't need to go in person, you can send anyone. And I remember it was, I think, only the birth certificate and some paperwork from the hospital that you needed to provide a supporting document. And then they would tell you, you would get your full salary for those 70 days. Just give us some time. And it actually just took them 10 days. And they would send you a message telling you, okay, your salary is ready. Please come pick it up. That was the only thing that, oh, I need to go pick up my salary. Why don't you just put it direct deposit? No, make it easier for me. But other than that, all was good.
I mean, I'm kind of like laughing a little bit crazily over here because that sounds like a pretty small hurdle, right? In comparison to getting no leave at all, federal leave. Now, so here's the thing. What people don't know is, so your daughter was born in Amman, where you're now, in Jordan, but you've also had this experience in the United States because your elder child, your son, was born in California.
Yes.
Okay, so you are you have a direct comparison.
Yes.
Which system do you prefer?
When it comes to maternity leave, yes. Oh my God, I'm going to say here in Jordan. But it was difficult for me in America because in California, I told my job that I would come back after 2 weeks. I thought that I could handle it after 2 weeks, but it was very, very difficult because the baby, the first month, doesn't adapt to the sleeping. It's to sleeping. So the baby would wake up every 2 hours, 3 hours, and you have to wake up, breastfeed, change. And if sometimes the baby, when you change it, like you have to change everything, not just the diaper. So it takes you breastfeeding and changing. That's an hour from your sleep time. And then you have to go back. You have to go back to sleep. Sleep for another 2 hours or three, and then wake up again. Was very difficult. And on top of that, the recovery of 9 month pregnancy, thinking that I could have it done by 2 weeks is impossible. It was literally impossible.
Yeah. You know, in my case, I have a couple of kids too. And after my first child was born, I didn't even leave my house for 2 weeks. I just like couldn't. And so the idea of having to go back to work that quickly, which millions of women, as you know, here in the United States have to do, is just, it's so heartbreaking. But Isra, hang on here for a second, because I want you to just listen along for a little bit more in the show, and I'll come back to you.
Okay.
But let me just turn to Professor Jody Heyman here at UCLA. So first of all, Professor Heyman, how is it that the Kingdom of Jordan, again, 110th globally in per capita GDP versus, you know, number one here in the United States, it has succeeded in offering women like Isra 70 days of paid maternity leave? What are they doing there?
Well, I think the important thing to realize is they're doing what almost the entire world does. So as you mentioned, 186 countries give paid maternity leave. Basically, every country, the only ones that don't, other than the U.S., are a few islands, mostly in the South Pacific. So Nauru, Palau, Tonga, Micronesia, Marshall Islands, and Papua New Guinea, that's it. Everywhere else in the world does it. So Jordan's program is vastly better than what the United States offers. 10 weeks, as Isra mentioned, paid at 100% of your wages. How do they make it happen? They make it happen by employer and government contributions to it. But 158 countries around the world do offer 12 weeks or more. So paid leave is nearly universal, and adequate paid leave, at least 3 months, also overwhelmingly common in all countries around the world.
Mm. So in the Jordanian case specifically, you said employer and government contributions. So is the employer part? Go ahead.
Yeah, so what the employer does, and I think this is how many systems make it work, is, so if we look globally and then Jordan, globally it's a combination. Sometimes it's entire government, sometimes it's government plus employer, sometimes it's three-way, and the person themselves puts something in. But what's common is it's a social insurance program, and that's what Jordan has. That way the employer, when someone gives birth, a mom gives birth, or in countries with paternity leave, a dad takes leave, the employer's not paying for that individual. They've already made their contribution, just like anything else they would insure.
Right. Well, Professor Jody Heyman, hang on here with us from Los Angeles, and Isra Hamda in Amman, Jordan. If you just listen along, Isra, I'll come back to you a little bit later in the show. So we're going to hear from some other moms in other countries first. So this hour, we are taking a look at how, again, almost 190 nations on planet Earth have made paid parental leave work. And of course, we're going to talk about what lessons we can draw from those global examples here in the United States. More in a moment. This is On Point.
Support for the On Point podcast comes from Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that lets you find candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/on point. That's Indeed.com/on point. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and today we're trying to learn what other countries are doing to make paid parental leave work, because it's still not happening at the federal level here in the United States. For example, listen to Denise, who called us from Silver Spring, Maryland. She had to have a C-section when her daughter was born prematurely at 28 weeks. Her baby spent 3 months in the neonatal intensive care unit. And the finance company that Denise worked for offered her 20 days of paid leave. So Denise took unpaid leave, which was a huge hit on her family financially. And she told us she was back at her desk too soon.
Well before I was physically healed, to say nothing of my mental state after that traumatic birth experience. And my daughter was still in the NICU for a couple of months after I had to return to work. Frankly, it took years to recover from the devastating impact on my family financially, all of which could have been helped if the U.S. even had at least 12 weeks of paid leave.
That's Denise, who called us from Silver Spring, Maryland. And of course, there are millions of Denises across the United States. So what are mothers in her situation doing elsewhere around the world? So that's what we're looking at today. And we're joined by Dr. Jody Heyman, who's director of UCLA's World Policy Analysis Center. She's a professor of public health there as well. Before the break, we heard from Isra Hamda, who told us the story of maternity leave in Amman, Jordan. So now let's go to Brazil, where Dr. Raissa Renner joins us from Vitória in Espírito Santo State in Brazil. She's a gynecological oncologist and just returned to work last Friday after taking her maternity leave. So Dr. Renner, welcome to On Point and congratulations on your new baby.
Hi, thank you.
So can you tell us, first of all, a little bit of what it was like going back to work?
Frankly, it was good because I can rest like 10 minutes seated because my baby, it's a lot of work all the time. Even though my husband's helping, but it's not the same, you know. I have to be with the baby all the time. So go back to work was a little good because I could sit and talk to other grown-ups, you know, not a baby voice all the time.
I know exactly how you feel. when work is slightly more restful than being at home, I completely yes. understand that. Now, how long of maternity, of paid maternity leave did you take?
It's 120 days here in Brazil, but it's not my full salary, you know. It's like a standard one. You pay for a tax and then you have like it's a standard salary. It's not my full salary. It's like 25%, but it helps a lot.
I see. So just to be clear, so when you say it's a standard salary, that does that mean that every woman who takes the maternity leave in yes. Brazil is given the same amount?
No, not the same amount. If you like, you have a minimum wage in Brazil and you have the tax, she gave.
Dr. Renner, we're going to try and get her line back from Espirito Santo in Brazil. So, Dr. Heyman, while we fix that up here, can you give us some insight into what Dr. Renner was talking about? That is, there's a sort of not full payment over 120 days in Brazil, but some sort of fractional paid leave they have?
So, for workers who are earning less, and this is common across many countries, they would get 100% of their wages. But as you earn more, you might hit a cap. That is also common across countries. So it sounds like she may well have hit the cap. I think it might be helpful for listeners to realize, so how does Brazil give such a generous policy, 120 days? The same way in the United States we give Social Security. So it's through a social insurance program. Everybody pays in. The employee pays in. The employer pays in. Government makes sure it delivers and puts enough finance there to make it deliver. So just the way we get Social Security when we're older, the Brazilian system gives you old age benefits, but at the same time, it pays for sick leave. And it pays for parental leave.
I see. So, is there any kind of means testing that goes on in Brazil or other countries in terms of who qualifies then for the paid leave?
Everybody qualifies. Okay. What they do and what many countries do is they're very generous for low and middle income workers. But as you can imagine, you know, I'm calling in right now from a studio in Hollywood. The highest earners in the country, and I'm not saying the physician was the highest, but at some point it hits a cap. That's the same thing our Social Security system does. So it's very parallel there.
I see. So give me another sense as to, or help us understand, how long have nations like, I mean, they're not all the same, obviously, but Brazil, Jordan, we'll also hear from Denmark and Japan. But globally, how long have most nations have had some sort of paid parental leave?
So most nations have had it for decades. Some have had it for over 100 years. So this is old, but very few have needed to pass it in, say, the past 15 years. The United States is getting more and more isolated.
Yeah.
You know, so we first studied this over 15 years ago, and at that point there were about 10 countries. You can see the last few are chipping away, but most have had it for several decades.
Okay. Now, I think we have Dr. Renner in Vitória and Espírito Santo in Brazil back with us. Dr. Renner, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, my apologies for the troubles with our connections here. But so Professor Heyman was describing to us sort of how the system of payment works in Brazil and why you didn't get your full salary. So we understand that mm-hmm. a little bit. But can you tell us, were there other kinds of support that you or Brazilian mothers get during your paid leave, social support, lactation support, things like that?
No.
Okay.
No, we don't have just off and this kind of salary, you know? We don't have, like, the government goes to, like, a nurse in my home. No, they don't do this.
Okay. Was there similar leave, or is there similar leave in Brazil for spouses?
Sorry?
Did your partner or husband also are they able to take paid leave in Brazil?
Yes. He have full salary. Paternity leave for 5 days.
For five days.
But my husband who works for the government, you know, he gains like 30 days off.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, earlier, Isra from Amman, Jordan, told us that it was pretty simple to start getting the payments from the government during her leave. Is it simple in Brazil as well?
Yes, I did put my data on the site, and then I go to the bank and get the cash.
Ah, I see. So you just use a website.
Yes, okay. The government one, and then they pay to the bank, and I go there and pay and get my check.
Oh wow! Okay. Now, one more question for you, Dr. Renner. I mean, you're a gynecological oncologist, so I imagine that you. Women's health is of central professional interest to you as well. So, I mean, what difference did it make to you as a new mother and even you know other women that you know that this 120 days of at least partially paid leave is available to Brazilian mothers?
Oh, it's very, very good. Because in the puerperium, you know, like the 6 weeks after we gave birth is like a crazy time. I don't know. The hormones, all these things, I couldn't go back to work there. I was crying all day, all night. It was like a little crazy for me. And I don't know how a woman can go back to work like this because I was such a mess, you know. Now I'm good, but in the puerperium time was very, very bad for me.
Mm.
And I guess for all the ladies, because it's very hard. You have to be awake all the time and the baby's crying all the time and have to change diapers and breastfeed and your boobs get sore. It's very, very, very hard. And yeah. I couldn't imagine go back to work there.
Yeah. You're bringing back a lot of memories for me, Dr. Renner. So hang on here for just a second. Again, Dr. Renner is with us from Brazil. Isra Hamda is with us from Jordan. And Dr. Jody Heyman is with us in Los Angeles. There's a couple of more places we want to visit to understand how paid parental leave is working around the world. But first, let's listen again to what's happening here in the United States. This is Rob, who's a father living in Brookings, South Dakota. And he remembers that winter of 2019, a really hard one across much of the United States. And repeated blizzards kept the children home. His wife got sick, and his family just narrowly avoided financial ruin.
Due to all of our absences with our kids, you know, school was closed, work wasn't. She lost her job, and I came very nearly close to doing the same at the same time because there's just no option for parents. When grandparents are working, parents need to work. You have to have two families. There's no way to make it work in America today.
So Rob talking there about parental leave in general, and not specifically postpartum leave for mothers, but again, it's an issue that affects a lot of Americans. So let's Go now to Denmark, where Tilde Bang Christensen joins us from Copenhagen. She's the mother of a three-month-old and is also host of a morning radio show on Danish public radio called Morgen or Morning Beat. So, Tilde, welcome to you.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about your the leave that you were able to take in Denmark after your baby was born.
Well, actually, there's a leave also before the baby is born. Everyone gets 4 weeks from your due date and you count back. I was able to leave 5 weeks before because my workplace offers up till 8 weeks before birth. And I ended up actually having 7 weeks before I gave birth because he was 2 weeks late from the due date. And then afterwards, there are 14 weeks of maternity leave, which is for everyone. And then we get 32 weeks that we can share between the parents as we wish, that are paid for by the government. Yeah.
It's not often that I'm at a loss for words, but Tilde, I could like bang my head against, you know, a radio studio well, but I can't bang my head against the table here because our engineers will get mad. But because I'm just reflecting on the fact that when my first child was born, I basically worked until the day I was in labor during the show and then walked home and I was like, I think I need to go to the hospital. So tell me, like, what difference, what was it, what's it like for you as a mother to know that you have that time beforehand, whether or not you want to take it, but also the 14 weeks after and then the shared leave as well? What difference does it make for your family?
Well, it's just such a relief for us to be able to do that, to be with our child and to give him that start in life that is just us taking care of him. I'm able to nurse him from home. I had a good pregnancy. I wasn't bothered by it, so it wouldn't have been a problem for me to work until later. But some of my friends, they were really bothered by the pregnancy in the end. So they were so grateful that they had the opportunity to leave work and just relax until birth. And especially after birth, I can really recognize the things Dr. Renner and Isra telling about being a mess. And just, you know, not being able to walk, being sleep deprived, being so goddamn emotional that half of it could be enough. So I couldn't imagine going back to work and that would just be me, a radio host, sitting and crying on the radio, I think. So not a good thing.
And how much of your salary is covered during these various periods of leave that you were talking about?
The 4 weeks before is covered in total, and the 14 weeks also covered in total, and then I actually have another 13 weeks, which is something my workplace has decided to give to new mothers. So and it's the same if you're a dad working at the Danish Broadcasting Company, you get 12 weeks, which is paid in total. You get your full salary.
Okay, and so this works for people who also work at private companies in Denmark as well?
It's a bit, it's up to the company how they choose to do it. You're, as a mom, guaranteed to get the 14 weeks paid in full salary. And afterwards, you have the 32 weeks. And if you don't get your full salary, you get benefits that you can claim instead of.
I see.
And it's also while you're getting your full salary, your employer gets the reimbursement of your benefits.
Benefits such as?
You know, the benefits that I collect if my employer didn't pay after the 14 weeks, they get them. So they get some of my salary covered while I'm on leave.
Okay. And then when you're back at work, as I asked Dr. Renner and Isra as well, are there other kinds of supports that are provided to specifically mothers in this case?
Back at work? No.
Okay.
But we have, I'm going to be on leave until he's 8.5 months old. And then my husband is going to be at home with him for 2.5 months. So Yeah, it's a long way down the road until we have to get some help from. And then he's going to go to a nursery, hopefully, if we can get a spot for him.
Ah, okay. So there at least is there's a question mark there. But and in terms of, and how does it work? I mean, did you or your employer pay into this system, as Dr. Heyman has been describing happens in other countries?
Yes, we have what's called an A-kasse. Which is like an unemployment insurance fund that you give money, you pay money every 3 months, which is also if you lose your job, you get more money that way than if you're just on the, I'm not really sure how to describe that.
Okay.
But anyways, you pay some money to be a part of this unemployment insurance fund, which covers the benefits you need while you're on leave.
Okay, so Tilde Bang Christensen joining us from Copenhagen, Denmark. Stand by for just a second. And Dr. Raisa Renner in Brazil and Isra Hamda in Amman, Jordan, and Professor Jody Heyman in Los Angeles. Much more to talk about in a moment. This is On Point.
Did you kill Marlene Johnson?
I think you're one of the first people to have actually asked.
From WBUR and ZSP Media, this is Beyond All Repair, a new podcast about an unsolved murder that will leave you questioning everything.
Somebody should be in jail for murdering my sister.
A woman who's never been believed.
As long as they think I have done this, then they're not looking for who actually did this.
And that's what makes it a cold case.
No, it's a botched case.
And a search for the truth, once and for all.
Wow, it just gets more interesting.
Beyond All Repair. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Be careful. You're digging in a place that's been very peaceful for a while.
Do it anyway. Dig.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and today we're hearing from moms around the world. They're in Jordan, Denmark, and Brazil, and we've also got a mom and an expert in Los Angeles as well, describing to us more broadly how paid parental leave works in their countries, because we're trying to learn how to make it work, if at all, here in the United States, which stands as an exception to the global rule. The richest country in the world does not offer paid parental leave. So let's listen to for a moment to how it works in Japan. Ayumi Takeda works for a nonprofit foundation in Tokyo, and she's also a young mother.
I am a mom of a 23-month-old girl, and I got pregnant in 2018, and I have my baby November 11th of 2018.
Now, in Japan, there is paid leave before and after the birth of the baby. The program has two components, maternity leave and childcare leave. It adds up to a year of paid leave, although Ayumi didn't take the full 52 weeks.
So in Japan, you can get the maternity leave 6 weeks before the due date, the expected due dates. So my maternity leave started in the end of September. And after my birth, I can take 8 weeks of maternity leave as well. So I was off until the next January. Then also I took the childcare leave until this May. So in total, I was taken leave for 20 months.
Now, before she had her child, Ayumi used to travel to the United States for work, and she admired the American women she worked with.
I was in New York. I saw a lot of my colleagues in think tanks or other universities who were pregnant and was working until really close to the due date. And they come back to work a couple weeks later, a couple months later. I thought I respected that. I respected the style of their working. And I thought I would do that too. I would come back soon. But actually, after my birth, I was like, oh my God, I can't work. I really didn't have time. I really didn't have energy. So I felt fortunate that I can take longer maternity leave.
And Ayumi realized how valuable Japan's paid national family leave program was to her family.
It was very important. It's a relief that you have your income, you having a child costs you money. And even if you're not working, you're very busy taking care of your child. And the actual fact that you can get the allowance during that time was really a relief.
That's Ayumi Takeda and her baby in the background in Tokyo, Japan. Okay, so Isra in Jordan and Tilda in Denmark and Dr. Renner in Brazil. I have just two more questions for the three of you. And I really am so grateful that you're sharing your experiences with our American audience today. So my first question is a simple yes-no question. Would you want to have gone through the experience of birth and early motherhood here in the United States? Now, Isra, you've already done that. But if you had to do it again, would you choose to do it in the U.S.?
No, in Denmark.
You take Denmark over Jordan. And Tilda, what about you?
I'll pass. Yeah, no.
No. Hard no from Denmark. Okay, and Dr. Yeah. Renner, would you?
No, Denmark as well.
Everyone wants to move to Denmark now. Totally understandable. Okay, but you see, but regardless of whether it's the Jordanian system of 70 days or in Brazil of 120 days or Denmark with leave before and after, all of you are experiencing a system that's much better than the zero here in the United States. So my last question for you is, if you had a chance to share with, say, an American politician in the United States Congress about why you think paid parental leave is so important or why it was so important to you, what would you tell an American politician? Dr. Renner, what would you say?
Well, I say that it's impossible to go work, to go back to work in 2 weeks. It's impossible. It's not because I'm lazy and I'm overtired. It was worse than my residency, you know. It's very, very exhausting. I couldn't work. I couldn't eat. Even I can't think about going back to work, you know.
And Tilda, same question to you. Again, imagine some of the, let's say, the more influential members of the Democratic and Republican parties here in the United States. What would you tell them about why maybe even having a slice of the system in Denmark might be a good idea here?
Well, I think it's an investment in the future citizens of your country. You know, they're going to have a better start in life being at home and having parents who don't have to worry about how they're gonna keep a roof over their head and how they're gonna get enough money for food and stuff, because you know it's just such a security to have. And I think it's just a better start in life if you have a mom or a dad at home to take care of you.
And Isra, same question to you, since you've been here and experienced it.
Honestly, I would say that if you give them at least, like you said, a little bit of it, it would give them an ease for the mom thinking that, oh, I will take a break and then I can go back to work fresh. I can go to someone that understands what I went through and they gave me a break. Now I can go and give back.
Well, Isra Hamda, joining us from Amman, Jordan, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you.
And Tilda Bang Christensen in Copenhagen, Denmark. Everyone wants to move to be your neighbor now, Tilda, but thank you so very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
And Dr. Raisa Renner in Vitoria in Espirito Santo in Brazil. Dr. Renner, thank you so much for sharing your story with us as well.
It's okay. You're welcome.
Well, Professor Heyman, now let's bring it right back here to the United States. We've heard how different the experience can be for new mothers in particular now from these various countries. I'd love to explore the lessons that we can draw and apply here in the United States. The first thing I'm hearing is that most of these programs are administered through, at least in part, some kind of employer contribution. So in the U.S., we've often heard pushback of, well, that actually is going to, that puts an additional financial burden on employers. So therefore, maybe it's something that couldn't work here in the U.S. How would you respond to that?
Well, I think the first thing to know is there are a substantial number of countries around the world that do it entirely from their tax system or from financing from the government. That's an option. But in terms of affordability, these are very small differences for employers as long as it's social insurance, as long as they pay in regularly. The piece that's not affordable is to say the employer has to pay for it when the parent takes leave. Mm. It's pretty easy to understand why. Say you have three employees and one of them takes leave. That's suddenly very expensive. But if all the time you're paying in the amount that they would normally have to pay into these systems, even the most generous, we'll take Japan, where you're paying less than 1% of wages, a 0.5%. This is a very teeny amount, and giving a full year of leave to mom and dads, that they can afford. And these systems we've heard of, and I'll just take the last two as examples because they're the most generous, Denmark and Japan, with a year for each parent, they cover everybody. They cover self-employed, they cover all size firms, and the way they do it is these very small contributions, but all the time.
I see. So in Japan, less than 1% annually, you're saying. And we're also talking about a period of leave, which, I mean, even in the case of Denmark, it wasn't more than a couple of years. Whereas if we compare to, say, the other social insurance programs we have here in the United States, like Social Security, you know, people expect now to be benefiting from Social Security for several decades. So there's a real difference in terms of the amount, the sheer number of dollars that go because of the time that we're talking, the time periods we're talking about.
Absolutely. And I think most importantly, on the economic side, there's very strong evidence that providing paid leave actually will make our economy stronger, that we'll have a net gain. So right now, if you look at what businesses estimate, whether it's Goldman Sachs or McKinsey, they say the U.S. could have a 10% gain or a 12% gain, huge gains in our GDP if we reached gender parity in the workforce. If women and men were equal in the workforce, we would have this huge boost that we're not getting any other way. Now, what's the public spending by most countries on this? Mm. It's 1/100th of that. It's less than 0.1% in countries like Australia and New Zealand, and just 0.1% of GDP in Switzerland. So it's a teeny expenditure, and by all the evidence, can contribute to a really substantial gain in overall GDP because it helps women stay at work. It helps them go back to their job. That's before you even get into the health benefits.
Right. So you're, just to be clear, you're saying that there is a measured and proven economic benefit to the country once the parents are able to take parental leave.
Because of how it strengthens women's employment, yes.
I see. And then, of course, as we heard directly from all three of our moms here, four of our moms, including Ayumi in Japan, there was a clear health benefit as well.
And the health benefits are also thoroughly studied. So there are benefits to reducing infant mortality, one of the worst possible outcomes, obviously. There are benefits in terms of reducing sick babies, sick from diarrhea, sick from pneumonia, because it increases the chance that women can breastfeed and their duration. It reduces risks of breast cancer. It's got large health and developmental benefits for both mom and child.
Mm. Okay, so now let's design the ideal program based on what we learned from these other countries. the ideal program that you'd like to see here in the United States? What would it be?
Well, what's so striking listening and knowing what most countries do is the ideal program would be much more generous than what we just saw was not even passed. So I think the ideal program would be 6 months of leave for moms, 6 months of leave for dads. That's not necessarily long by global standards. It's very doable for high-income countries. It would be paid through a social insurance program. We have the infrastructure. We already have done that in other areas, as you mentioned. We do that with Social Security. It would have enough wage replacement, especially for those who are low or middle income, that people can afford to take leave. And I think crucially, and the pandemic should remind us of this, it should be combined with paid sick leave, as it is in the majority of social insurance programs, even if they have separate programs for each, cover both. So we've talked about 186 countries with paid maternity leave. Over 180 also provide paid sick leave. We shouldn't hit another pandemic without it.
Well, so just to come back to reality here in the United States at the end of October, the first 12-week, then whittled down to 4-week leave plan was then officially just spiked from that the social benefits package that Democrats are putting together here. There were some people had some issues with how the plan was before it was killed, how it was organized. I mean, they were looking at the possibility of having a parallel private leave plan that companies could administer on their own rather than something that would come entirely through the federal government. And people had concerns with that. And others thought it was basically a paid leave version of our flawed healthcare system because of the two different paths that companies could take. So not perfect, but even that didn't get passed. So what do you think, Professor Heyman, continues to make the U.S. so exceptional here? I mean, continues to give the U.S. more similarities to Papua New Guinea than to Jordan, Denmark, Japan, or Brazil?
Well, I want to speak a minute to those 2 points you raised about the length of what was proposed and how it would be paid for, and then we can talk about our exceptionalism in a bad way.
Yeah. Well, we just have about a minute to go, go ahead.
So yeah. Briefly, 3 months each parent would make an enormous difference. 4 weeks, grossly inadequate. There is no adequate paid infant care. People can't go back to work and have decent leave. Parallel private system, virtually unheard of globally, and likely to create incentives for discriminating, likely to be a giveaway to the insurers and not cost more money for the benefit it gives Americans. So there's lots of evidence it should be a public system. 3 months each would be a big start. And why are we an exception to this? We have to get it through our political system, and I think they're hearing from all listeners, hearing from all Americans about what a difference this would make is the place to start.
Well, Professor Jody Heyman, director of UCLA's World Policy Analysis Center and a professor of public health there. The center has this very jarring map of maternity leave around the world and U.S. exceptionalism laid out very visually. We have a link to their work at onpointradio.org. Professor Heyman, thank you so very much for helping us educate us about how the rest of the world is getting this done. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Magda.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.